This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to Preserving Our Past on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM. Our past can be identified through whakapapa, ancestry, heritage, and history. On this show, we highlight the tangible parts of the past, or those that we can see and touch. I'm Suzanne Rawson, a cultural materials conservator, and I invite you to join me in a journey of uncovering the stories of the special things in our communities. Naomai hari mai, and welcome to Preserving Our Past on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM. My name is Suzanne, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for listening in. In today's episode, we travel to Te Tatum, the Taranaki Aviation Technology and Transport Museum. Wow, what a mouthful. The acronym T-A-T-A-T-M. The website describes that Te Tatum preserves Taranaki's past for the enjoyment of future generations, where you can explore the life and times of early Taranaki technologies. As described, it is tucked away off the main road and houses an incredible working collection of early technologies. And if you are thinking that it's another small museum, think again. You're guaranteed to spend hours here. There is truly something for everyone. In this episode, I took my team out to visit the museum, and we met with Trevor Cray, who was one of the early founders of the museum. And the audio you'll hear is pre-recorded, so I've selected excerpts from the conversation. Let's start by hearing more about Trevor's story. Trevor, how do you know all this? What's your background?
My background? My background was originally I was an electrical engineer. I worked for what is now Powerco, before it became Powerco. And before that, I did 2 years in Wellington and New Zealand Railways telephone section. And there was a major advantage in doing that because I came to New Plymouth. And due to the fact that I wasn't very keen on putting my hands on live wire. You know, while you're standing on a ladder, which is insulated, you can hold on to the wires just the same technique as flying birds can sit on the power wires. You don't get electric shock. It's only when you provide a complete circuit, which is normally through your tubes or hand-to-hand. And so I learned about telephones down in Wellington, and I didn't like to live in Wellington. It was too cold in the winter time for me. So I shifted to New Plymouth, and I joined the city electricity department, as it was known then. And one day I was out working with one bloke, and another bloke said to me, "One of our workers has just decided to shift left. We're not quite sure who can take over." Any chance? Yeah. 2 days later, he showed me a circuit diagram, and in those days, there were two sets of traffic signals in New Plymouth.
Oh my gosh. And,
bloke who had just become my boss said, "I would like you to learn about this circuit." Showed me a diagram, you know. A2 size, if you're familiar with paper sizes, A2 size, relay. And I said, "Oh, I'll take it home overnight." So I took it home overnight, came back the following morning and described it accurately.
Wow.
He was totally amazed, and he said, "I've never had anybody understand that circuit diagram." And I, knew it backwards, no trouble.
Wow.
Because it was basically the same sort of circuits as I did in the telephones area.
Oh, right, right. We followed Trevor around the museum as he shared his favorite highlights, and in various places you'll hear some of our staff fangirling over the collection that Trevor shares. He starts by demonstrating the fire engine alarm.
No, mind you, yes.
Okay. Oh no, is it going to be real loud? Oh my gosh, look at this. This is incredible. Oh, damn.
If there's school groups out here, that's a good way to attract their attention. Oh my God. They can be spread over the entire museum. And you give that a whine. Oh,
we're all conditioned as humans, aren't we, to be attracted to that sound. This is amazing, Trevor. Look at this collections. They're incredible.
Brings back memories of age gone by.
Wow. This is incredible. I can't believe you're allowed to sit inside of an entire airplane.
Oh, you're not.
This is, wow.
Younger people in particular.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, you had no idea what that was and what it would be used for.
I was just reading it. I was like, oh my God, that's so cool.
You want to learn to become an aeroplane pilot?
Yes, please.
You would be inside here.
Oh.
This opens up and you can sit on the inside.
Oh my gosh.
You then have to fly by instruments, and whatever you do on the controls would be reflected on this,
right.
Move around on this table.
Oh my gosh.
And so your trainer could see how good you were.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you were asked to fly from New Plymouth to Auckland, and there's a big crosswind. So you had to compensate on your instruments for the crosswind. So you finally ended up in Auckland. And if you weren't careful, this machine did that. Because you weren't flying the right way and the wind was blowing you sideways.
Oh, wow. That is fascinating. So it's called a link trainer.
So that's because they're two are linked together. That's why it's called a link trainer. That was how they taught pilots to fly in the earlier days.
Fascinating.
But if you want a story, come and listen to this. Oh. This, to me, is one of the more incredible stories of the Second World War.
It's the first
time
kit.
Oh. Little motorbike, paratroopers.
For corgis.
Collapsible motorbike. The idea, the theory was, paratrooper would jump out of an aeroplane, parachute down to the ground. The idea was the next parachute that comes down had one of these underneath, so that he then had a method of getting somewhere quicker than walking.
Oh, right.
Two problems. One, if there were trees around, there's my motorbike up there.
All right.
Parachute got stuck in the tree. So that was problem number one. Problem number two, there was no silencer on them.
So you're like, brrrr, look at me,
I'm coming.
Yeah.
So, they learnt very quickly. The trick was, if the motorbike came down here, you started it up and run. The Germans go, brrrr. Kill the motorbike, but you're safely over there.
Nice.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
We'll close our first segment with The Motorcycle Song by Arlo Guthrie off of his album Alice's Restaurant from 1967. Arlo was the son of Woody and Jackie Guthrie, and they were both singer-songwriters. And his father, you'd probably most know for writing and singing This Land Is Your Land.
a tickle. Cause I'd rather ride on my motorcycle. Say what I don't want a pickle. I just want to ride on the motorcycle. And I don't want a tickle. I'd rather ride on my motorcycle. And I week I was on my bike, running to a friend named Mike, running to a friend named Mike. Mike no longer has a bike, he cries, I don't want a pickle, I just want to ride my motorcycle.
Welcome back to Preserving Our Past on Access Radio Taranaki, 104.4 FM. In the last segment, we were introduced to Trevor Cray and the Tatum, the Taranaki Aviation Technology and Transport Museum. I'm getting it better at it now. We'll continue on with Trevor sharing some of his favorites from the collection.
Wow, this museum's incredible.
The doctor's medical kit. And in the early days when I was here, there was one of the older members. He was an ex-doctor in the Second World War. He said, yes, we had a medical kit like that. The most common use, because most of what's in there would finish you off very quickly.
Good.
He said, you would come across a bloke who's been shot at, bombed, he's lost both his arms, his one leg's been blown off and this part of his body, and he's screaming his head off in pain. Mm. He said, you give him an injection and put him to sleep.
Yeah.
What else could you do?
Exactly.
You weren't going to carry him another 10 miles back to some base or something or other.
Wow.
And I'll never forget the doctor, that doctor bloke telling me that story. He said that to me. He said,
war is a brutal place.
Yes. So, there's a whole range of stories like this.
Oh, I bet. There's heaps.
This museum's incredible.
I know, and you can touch stuff. It freaks me out.
Yeah. Yeah, kids can climb on it.
Another interesting story is this aeroplane itself. New Zealand Air Force had a number of these aeroplanes surplus. They were at Ohakia.
Oh, yeah. The air base there.
Ah! People in this museum thought that would be nice to have one of these. So they go down there and they take down what in those days were called a one-ton truck.
How'd you get it in here?
Tow bar attachment on the back. You can have, take your choice, whichever aeroplane you like.
Yeah.
Oh, how are we going to put this aeroplane on a one-ton truck? You know, the tray that went from about here to that wall.
Yeah, right.
So, take these covers off.
Take the wings off.
Undo all the nuts and bolts, take the wings off, and strap the wings on the side of the aeroplane. Connect up a towing point, which is on that bar across there. And they towed it like a trailer from Ohakia back to New Plymouth. Ah, there was one problem. They forgot to bring the prop.
I knew it wasn't the right one.
And if you know anything about aeroplanes...
I wouldn't be one.
That's not the right size prop.
Oh, okay. Right.
So this actually was my buttons, but yes.
But it looks much better with a prop on it than to have just a shaft. And there's a whole story about this prop itself.
It's quite beautiful, isn't it?
A bloke lived in Stratford with his mother, and he was working at Ohakia. And the Air Force decided to throw away a number of these. He thought, oh, I must take one home as a souvenir. So he strapped it onto his back, shoulders about there and this much sticking up there somewhere, and rode his motorbike back to Stratford and left it at his place. But finally he moves on somewhere. His mother was cleaning up and, what the hell are we going to do with this thing? So she donated it to the museum, and that's how we got hold of it.
Oh, that's perfect.
So I could go right through this whole place.
Yeah, definitely.
And giving you stories like all these little pieces.
Trevor also showed us the marine engine shed where they have the engine from the Naumuktu dredge, and this was the original dredge used down at the port.
You want to see this going?
You can start it? It starts? No way.
I'm going to stand.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
Get your fingers off, that's all. Because it doesn't stop quickly.
No, it wouldn't.
So keep your fingers out of the way. Steam is air being compressed by the piston and coming out through a really small hole. So it's just like, as we whistle, we make air pass through a small hole in our mouth. And that's how we make the sound. That's what always is treasured on that one. Yeah. These people say, that is.
No.
I'll tell you when I saw it. The pistons are not dead at the top or dead at the bottom.
Oh, right.
They're
okay.
Part way. And it's easier for them.
Oh, I didn't think the traction goes. It's not in a locked position. Right.
So, Trevor, you were going to tell me what that feature is on the top.
There. And it's driven by the belt you can see running from the main shaft. And that's speed control.
Oh, very cool.
And you can set that. So the faster it goes, of course, those balls will fly out.
Huh.
Centrifugal force.
Yeah.
And they go out. And so you can set the speed when it's... This is not total. There's some parts missing. From the when it was functional on the ship.
Oh, okay.
So they could set the speed, and that would maintain that speed. So if it tried to go faster, balls would fly outwards.
Out.
Oh. Centrifugal force.
Oh. When you swing a bucket.
You understand that?
Yes, yes. So as they fly out,
of course, the bottom part comes upwards because of those blue
stars. That's what pushes it out.
So as they come up, they reduce, slightly reduce the amount of steam that would go in.
Huh.
And that tends to slow it down a little. So if it slows down, of course, they get closer to the axis of rotation.
Oh, God. Fascinating.
So as it slows down, whoops, it tries to allow a wee bit more speed to speed up. So it finds an equilibrium place and just stays at that.
So this is the engine from the Nambutu.
This is one of the two engines that were in the...
This is the dredge, Nambutu.
The original dredge down at the port.
Oh, wow. This is brilliant.
It would be hiding inside there somewhere.
Oh, wow. This is the end of the second segment of the show. We'll close it by playing the Dredge Boat song by Hunter Varnum. He's an independent artist based in North Carolina, where I'm from.
My sweet Southern lady,
Carolina, won't you save me? I've been gone 14 days too long. Well, I think I'm going crazy. The sitting room is loud and hazy. Until I get home, we're pushing on. I'm riding along.
Welcome back to Preserving Our Past on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM. And if you've listened to the show from the start, you heard that for this episode, we are discussing our visit to Te Tatum, the Taranaki Aviation Technology and Transport Museum. The museum is run by volunteers, and they would love your support to become a member. Please head to their website at tatatm.co.nz or Google Taranaki Transport Museum, and you'll surf there in no time. Easy to find. This last segment will focus on the bits of the tour that we ended with and a few comments on the unique aspect of the museum and why the locals love it. So we'll pick up on the tour where Trevor has just wowed us with the overhead zip line where orders were once passed to the cashier from at the center of this of a department store. Very effective.
This is so cool, Trevor. Look at this. Oh my God. I can understand why you don't have the capacity to take on multiple examples of things, because museum is well laid out. It it's not too on top of each other, like the items. And it's, the displays are really easily interpreted. You can understand how things were used. And
that was such a great tour by Trevor, and we so appreciated the time that he gave us to look at all of his favorite parts of the collection. So please do pop out to the museum, great for kids. And the reason why we love it as parents is because they let the kids touch things. The things that are really vulnerable or fragile or gentle touch are behind glass doors. So for the most part, the kids can really explore all of these great technologies that once existed. And the other thing is, again, the layout, like it's really well laid out in the time span and the themes throughout the museum. So the reason why touching things makes us really nervous as cultural heritage conservators is that it leads to deterioration of the item. So we call it the risk profile. So the more an item is handled, the higher the risk is that it'll just get damaged or deteriorated. And that falls in line with our ethos of minimal intervention. So we try to handle the objects as little as possible, and we know that that leads to preservation. However, in a museum like this, that's balanced with the educational aspect. So what do we preserve objects for? In traditional museum models, when objects move into a museum space or become venerated or placed on a pedestal, they go into a preservation state, which typically doesn't include them being used or having a function anymore. But that's really changing. Museums are starting to explore how they use collections, specifically in New Zealand. Those people who whakapapa or have ancestry to that object or that taonga, they can come in and continue to connect with it and touch it and hold it and use it in their own ceremonies and family events and so on. So this is really changing. I think in a lot of ways we preserve items for the people who care about them.
That's our show for this week. Ngā mihi nui, listeners, and thank you so much to our sponsor, HPFS Solutions, for making these stories possible. Please join me next week when we begin a whole new story. To listen to past episodes, visit our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.